Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this week on The Wonderful Counselor. Isaiah's prophecy of the birth of Jesus was this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I get the impression that this name, Wonderful Counselor, has been forgotten by many Christians. The Mail illustrates this. I receive the stories of problems and of resorting to counselors who are professionals. Now let me say again, I've said this before, I think, I am not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I make no claims to be either one. I'm a woman who loves God. I have occasionally suggested on Gateway to Joy that caution is needed in resorting to professional counseling. Have you taken your trouble first to the foot of the cross? I emphasize the word first. It may be that counseling will be necessary at some point, but why not try God first? Take your trouble to the foot of the cross. Spread it out, might even help you to write it out, whatever the problems are, and look at it long and hard and silently before the face of God. Be silent to listen and to see if God might have something to say to you that would never have gotten through if you hadn't taken quiet time kneeling at the foot of the cross. Now, have I condemned all counseling? No. Have I condemned all Christian counseling? Of course I haven't. I'm not qualified either to tell someone that he needs it or that he doesn't need it. But a professional Christian counselor, Larry Crabb, was interviewed for Christianity Today. He speaks from long experience, and I want to read what he says. The article is entitled "Putting an End to Christian Psychology." Larry Crabb thinks therapy belongs back in the churches. "You're committing professional suicide," a colleague recently told psychologist Larry Crabb. In recent speeches, Crabb has been raising eyebrows by joining in the chorus of those questioning the utility of psychotherapy for Christians. According to Crabb, the church must reclaim its job of healing people who are struggling emotionally, including those with problems that are generally referred to psychologists and therapists. Crabb is founder and director of the Institute of Biblical Counseling in Morrison, Colorado, and a professor at Colorado Christian University. Books such as Inside Out and Finding God have made him a popular author and speaker in the Christian community. But lately, with his idea of dismantling the Christian counseling industry, Crabb seems on the verge of bewildering more than a few of his followers. Here he talks about his vision for the church becoming a healing sanctuary. Question: what has been the effect of professional counseling in the church? Dr. Crabb's answer: the church has bought into the idea that its spiritual role is a very limited one. If a woman struggles with depression or lacks sexual desire for her husband because of past sexual abuse, the immediate response is to send the woman to a professional counselor. The underlying assumption is that spiritual resources aren't sufficient to deal with what's going on, that only people with massive levels of professional training can help. Ultimately, we're saying the scriptures and Christianity don't meaningfully address the core concerns of our lives. Question: You don't hold to the three-sided model that therapists are qualified to treat psychological problems, pastors spiritual problems, and doctors physical ones? I say no for two reasons. First, as a professional, I know that we don't know. We can't diagnose what's really happening in people's souls, not the way my dentist can when he looks at x-rays and tells me what's wrong with my tooth. He's not pretending. He knows. He's an expert. But as a psychologist, I don't know. And it's not because I'm stupid or poorly trained. It's because there's no such thing as a scientifically trained expert on the soul. Second, theologically, I am more comfortable with a dichotomist position, that human beings consist of spirit and body, than a trichotomist one. The dichotomist believes that human beings consist of spirit and body. The trichotomist believes in spirit, soul, and body. Dr. Crabb says, this leads me to suggest that what we call emotional / psychological problems are really spiritual / theological ones, that non-organic problems really stem from a troubled soul, not some damaged self, which psychotherapists claim to fix. And I need to interrupt here to say that my second husband, Addison Leach, was a theologian and a philosopher. And I can remember him saying years ago, long before this craze of psychological counseling laid hold of the church, he used to say, all our problems are theological ones. The interview goes on with Dr. Crabb, but hasn't psychotherapy worked for many people? Yes. But ask most people who have had 2 or 3 years with a good therapist what it was that helped them. 9 times in 10, they say, this guy really cared about me. He looked at me and said, I really want to see you feel better. The therapist's caring was much more important than his or her professional interpretations. Those therapists who are doing really good work are, in fact, doing what I'm calling eldering. And if eldering is being done within a professional setting, why can't it be done in the non-professional setting of the church? I think it can be, and I think that's where it ideally belongs. Question: why specifically the church? When a patient goes to see a therapist, he's really asking the therapist to do the sanctifying work that the Spirit of God does through His Word. In the end, all counseling, intentionally or not, deals with issues of sanctification. The primary context for healing, then, should be the Christian community, not the antiseptic world of a private practice therapist. But don't some problems, like eating disorders or manic depression, have a physical dimension that untrained individuals are not equipped to deal with? Yes, some personal problems have an organic root. Antidepressants, for example, can sometimes effectively treat depressive moods, but only because there really is an organic background to the depression. But if you eliminate those kinds of problems, which is anybody's guess how to do, then I think we're talking about the problems of the soul, and not psychopathology. Not damage to an entity that spiritual categories don't include. If, in fact, all non-organic psychological problems are spiritual problems, they belong more to the role of an elder than to an expert. Question: what do you mean by elder? I'm not referring to the official church position as such, but to godly people. To whatever degree you or I have pursued the Lord with our heart and soul and mind and strength, we have something to offer those around us, either in a discipleship or friendship capacity. The church needs to take the role of spiritual, godly men and women far more seriously. They have a lot more power to deeply affect the souls of other people than they generally are given credit for. A key passage is Ephesians 4:16, which says, that the whole body grows when each part does its work. We're joined and held together by God. There's an inner connection. So when I meaningfully relate to another person, deep things happen inside him or her. That's what we've taken out of Christian community and put into a therapist's office. Now, that article is from Christianity Today, an interview with Dr. Larry Crabb, who is a psychologist. He is certainly committing professional suicide, as a colleague said to him. But he has some very strong arguments here, and I will be reading some more from that article tomorrow. Again, I want to urge my listeners to believe that Jesus Christ has the answer. There are godly men and women in the church who perhaps need to be reminded that they are responsible to be spiritual fathers and mothers. Titus 2 is Paul's injunctions to the young pastor Titus, telling him what he's supposed to teach the people in his church. And he makes it very clear that the older men have a responsibility to teach the younger, and the older women have a responsibility to teach younger women. I want to ask, where are they? Where are the older men and women? Are they in Arizona playing golf? Have they gone to Florida or California for 6 months out of the year so that they're not available? Are they tooling around in a motor home? It just may be that there are some who haven't given any thought whatsoever to their responsibility to the younger people in the church. They may simply be saying, well, I raised my kids. I've done my part. May God help us to see what part He might be assigning to us for His glory.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.